Hello and welcome. So right off the bat, I have a disclaimer for you. If you have sensitive ears, just know that this episode does have some words that are considered by most to be quote unquote bad words. But the whole point of this episode is to show you how we do have labels and we attach power to words. And I think it's a very powerful lesson. And I'm going to share a couple of stories to illustrate that. So, as always, I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Becoming Lauren. I'm your host, Cheryl Ann. Hang out with me weekly as I share my journey to becoming Lauren, who, by the way, is my superpower, the goddess in me. She has and holds boundaries. She stands in her own power and she speaks her truth. She is a badass. I'm sharing what's working, what I've learned along the way, and my guests will share how they made the leap as well, all with the goal of inspiring you to find and embrace your inner goddess too. Let's do this thing. Okay, so, you know, the power of words. I've been having lessons regarding the power of words and the meaning that you attach to them. So, our words are very powerful, but so are the meanings and judgments about the word that we attach to the word. So where does this come from? I think, you know what, there's the dictionary. You don't know a word, so you're reading a book or somebody says something to you, you go look it up in the dictionary. Or, you know what, more likely from a very young age, you found out from your parents, your mother, your father, what is the meaning of different words, what they mean to them, as well as judgments about the words. Is this a good word or is this a bad word? Are you allowed to say this word or are you not allowed to say this word? And then we also have culture. So many words are made up in certain cultures and then they flow through, or they're made up by different generations. There's this words that come from just, you know, society, around us. So I want to talk a bit about certain words that some of them are bad words, according to my mom and dad. And I learned to know the difference between, you know, it usually meant some, you know, a bar of soap in my mouth if I said what my parents considered to be a bad word. So fast forward, here's one of the stories. So fast forward to my mom. So I'm gonna call them Mom B and Mom M, because I have a biological mother who is in my life, as well as an adoptive mother who has passed. So the adoptive mother who has passed is going to be Mom B, and the biological mom is Mom M. And so remember, Mom M is still alive. So back in the day, way back in the day, Mom B and I, as I was growing up, we played a lot of cards. And it was very common when we're, you know, we're playing gin rummy, and I would be, like, my mom started this, so obviously I wouldn't have started this because that wouldn't have gone over very well. You'll understand what I mean when I say, but we'd be playing cards, and I would beat my mom's butt, and she would call me a bitch. But it would be like, oh, you bitch, right? With a big smile on her face. So the intent behind the word was just kind of like, oh, doggone it, you've got me. You beat me. She was not calling me a bitch in the sense that most people look at the word bitch. So the funny thing is, fast forward, and now I'm an adult. So that was when I was in my teens that started with my, with Mom B. And I met Mom M when I was almost 30. And I actually got to celebrate my 30th birthday with her. So as we got to know each other better, you know, she was actually living in a different province, but then moved back. So we got to actually visit and spend time. And I know where I get my love of games from. I get it from her biologically, I guess, because she loves, loves, loves games. So here we are playing a game of cards, her and I, and she beat my ass good, and I called her a bitch. And when I called her a bitch, again, my intention was lovingly fun, like, oh, you got me, you bitch, sort of thing. So she was shocked. She was shocked and cried. And I was just like looking at her in wonder, because I'd grown up and for many, many years was able to call my adoptive mother, Mom B, a bitch. And she called me a bitch and we were all good with it because it was a loving term. So now I'm trying to explain this to Mom M and, you know, make her feel better. And she just can't get over it. She's basically said, you know, my kids, meaning the ones that she raised, she gave me up for adoption when I was really young, so we didn't have any interaction back then. So my half-brother and half-sister, which I just call brother and sister, they never called her a bitch, and she would have, you know, not allowed it. So I found myself, like, dropped into this very uncomfortable place, because to me it was just a term. So it gets even more entwined because I also have Dad L and Dad LA. So Dad L is my biological mother's husband. And then Dad LA is my adoptive father. So again, back in the day when I had, you know, gotten to know both my biological mother and her husband, and we started spending time together, we were playing euchre, and Dad L, he called me a twat. At the time, I was in shock. I was just like, oh my god, he just called me a twat. And I was, it's because I beat him. I was like my mom, oh geez, I get them so confused. Mom M, my bio mom, cried when I called her a bitch. I felt tears welling up in my eyes when Dad L called me a twat. And they're like, why are you so upset? That's just a term, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, it's like a pet name. I'm like, a pet name for your vagina, maybe, but a pet name for your daughter? Yeah, I was. So the really funny thing was, I was able to say to her, well, you remember when I called you a bitch, and my intent when I called you a bitch was, it was just all in fun, and you took it seriously. I said, well, I've never been called a twat by a parent, let's put it that way. I was able to make the connection and say, okay, you know what, he doesn't mean that he thinks I'm a vagina, but really that just takes me right to, well, what is a vagina? Like, what is a vagina it's a woman's genitals? And so if you think of a woman's genitals as a bad thing, I remember, you know, all sorts of horrible things they would say about a woman's genitals when I was in school, when I was back, you know, a young teen in school, and it was almost embarrassing to have a vagina. So, like, okay, but I mean, if I look at a woman's genitals, a vagina, you know, the whole thing, it's versatile. Many people would say it's warm and inviting. On a bigger scale, it's life-giving. It's an amazing piece of a woman's anatomy and what it does. It brings life. I mean, it's something to be celebrated. So if somebody calls me a twat, then if I look at it as I'm versatile, warm, inviting, life-giving, I'm amazing, then, well, gee, the word, you know, being called that is a great thing, and I can easily say thank you. Well, thank you for calling me that. So Okay, so that's the first. Okay, that's part of the first story. I mean, while we're still on women's genitalia, there's always the "see you next Tuesday," and that to me has always been a really harsh word, and I felt insulted if a woman or a man called me that. I looked it up in the dictionary, and there is no anything nasty about it. It just says it is a woman's genitals. And it started in the 1800s, and it's of German, Dutch, Danish descent, or origin, I should say. That's where it came from. And it was actually a word that meant a woman's genitals, with no nasty stuff attached to it. Well, maybe because of the guttural sound of it, because it's very impactful when you say it a certain way. All of a sudden, it's one of the top insults that a man might, you know, throw at a woman and expect it to hurt her, and expect her to take offense at it. And you can certainly tell when it is said a certain way, that it's intended that way. However, if I again liken it back to what I believe a woman's genitals are, versatile, warm, inviting, life-giving, amazing, then that word, "see you next Tuesday," can't really bother me either. So I can actually, no matter how they say it to me, I can look at them and say, thank you. So again, I mean, years and years ago, if you look up the dictionary, it says a bitch is a female dog, wolf, fox, or an otter. So there's nothing in there that says anything else to describe what the word bitch means. Bitch is not a swear word. And yet, it's been assigned either by society, by culture, by your mother, father. The dictionary sure doesn't say it, but even if the dictionary did say it, who wrote the dictionary? Who decided what was going to be put in for each word? Did they, I'm sure there's lots of words that don't have what we might think should be in there. So, here's one for you. Bitch. If somebody calls me a bitch, and I can tell that it's meant the intent behind it was to hurt me, I think about where it's coming from. So generally, when a man or a woman calls another man or a woman a bitch, they're saying they don't like their behavior. And often I think that it comes from women when they say no, or women when they voice their opinions, or when they stand up for themselves. So I, years ago, decided that I was going to go with bitch is just a, I think the word is an acronym, and it's babe in total control of herself. So again, if somebody calls me that, I take, not pride, but I can, say thank you, because you know what? That means I'm owning my own power. I'm standing in my power. I'm speaking up for myself. I'm speaking my truth. I'm saying no when I mean no. And if other people don't like it, then that's fine. They can call me a bitch. And I know I'm not a female dog, wolf, fox, or otter. So I choose to assign babe in total control of herself to the word or the term bitch. So that's my one story about the power of words. And I have other ones, but I'm going to leave that one alone for a minute. I'm going to tell you another story about, I call this one, I actually have a name for this one because I like to name things. I would almost even have more children just so I can name them. I just like to name things. So I call this story Beauty and the Tramp Stamp. So I was, at something in the summer with some friends, and I don't know, maybe because I had a short sleeve shirt on, and we were talking about my tattoo that I have. And I had said, well, I don't see that you have any tattoos. Like, I don't see any visible. Do you have any? And the woman I was speaking with said, yes, actually, I have. I think it was 7. I can't remember how many. But she said, and I love all of them except for one. And I said, oh, okay. So is it one you just regret? Like, it wasn't meaningful at the time. And she said, no. I actually just regret it because of where it is. And as you know, by the name of the story, Beauty and the Tramp stamp. It was on her lower back. And somebody, I don't know who, but somebody decided that a tramp stamp meant that you're a slut. And in other words, that you're, there's another word again, right? Promiscuous. Well, what, okay, I'm not even going to go there about how I feel about promiscuity and how, you know, when men do it, you know, they're all heroes. When women do it, they get labeled different names. As far as I'm concerned, we're all equal. And if I really enjoy having sex, that's nobody's business but my own. And, you know, so if somebody wants to label me something, I'm just like, that's on them, that's not on me. However, back to the story. So I said to her, I said, oh, well, do you actually like what the the tattoo that's on your lower back, do you like it? She goes, oh, I love it. She said, but I find I hide it now because it is considered a tramp stamp. And so I won't, you know, I find I, if where before I would wear a two-piece bathing suit, I wear a full bathing suit now because I have to cover it up. And I said, well, you know, that's, you're giving an awful lot of power to a term that somebody decided and it kind of caught on. But do you feel that that tattoo, when you got that tattoo, did you feel like that, you know, you were promiscuous when you got it, or a tramp? She said, no. And you know what? They didn't call it tramp stamps when I got it. It was sometime after that that it came out. And I said, so if you don't feel that you are a tramp, then why does that bother you? If you love that tattoo, I could see if you hated the tattoo and you got it and you were like, oh, I really regret that because that's not at all who I am anymore. That's fine. But you're allowing somebody, and we don't even know who started that. It's like the weed versus flower. You know, I look at many, I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. And then my husband, who, you know, took courses and stuff, said, well, that's just a weed. And I'm like, well, I don't care what you want to call it. I think it's beautiful. So I said, let me see your tattoo. So she showed it to me. And I said, you know what? It's beautiful. That is a beautiful tattoo. And I actually really like that. I think there's something very pretty about it where it is, and just, you know, whatever. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, yes. And obviously you loved it once too, and you still love it, and you're giving away your power, allowing other people's, you know, labels to determine what makes you happy and what doesn't. So anyway, that's my story about the, you know, Beauty and the Tramp stamp. I think we get to decide you know, what we're going to assign, what power we're going to assign to a word. And actually, the really funny thing is I'm learning now that we do that with everything. We assign to words power, or like, for instance, you know, this is good or this is bad, or this is right or this is wrong. We don't let anything just be. I like that. I don't like that. So what if we just, like, imagining, say, the weed versus the flower? It really doesn't matter. We don't need to label it. We don't need to define it or name it. We can appreciate it and be neutral about it, you know, or we can, there's nothing wrong with saying you like something, but then does that mean you don't like something else? So, I mean, that's a whole nother episode and a whole nother thought train that I could go down, but I'm not going to. I wanted to keep this relatively short and just tell you two quick stories which demonstrate the power of words, and the power that we give them and how we label them and define them. And you can choose. You can choose to not define it at all and keep it neutral. Or you can give it a power. You can take a bad word and make it good, if you want to, you know, define between the two. And that's what I'm finding I'm thinking a lot more about lately is, why do I have to label this? Why can't I just, or if somebody calls me a name, you know, if I look at the intent, it totally changes things. So there's a lot there. Intent is a really big thing. And the power that you give it to hurt you or not hurt you, make you feel good or make you feel bad. That's your choice. That's your power. So that's about all I have to say about that. I'd love to hear what you think about what I've just said, and or maybe even just reflect back on what words do you give power to? And if you give them the power to hurt you, you know, can you change that? Is there a way for you to switch that around so that you're not allowing it to hurt? I hope you have an amazing day and have enjoyed my stories, and will remember that you have the power to choose and decide for yourself. Take care and see you soon.
Thank you so much for spending this time with me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please go drop some love on it and leave me a review. It really helps others find my podcast as well. And please know that I really appreciate every single one. Make sure you subscribe as well so you don't miss it when the next episode goes live. And hey, if you know someone that would benefit from and enjoy this or other episodes, please share Becoming Lauren with them too. If you're looking for more connection, join my private Facebook group, Calling All Goddesses, or look me up on Instagram at becoming.thegoddess.lauren. Don't worry, all of the links are in the show notes. One last thing, have yourself a fabulous day and go out there and be your unique and wonderful self, because hey, no one else has that superpower.